Thursday to you, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I hear that you are beginning today with Wimbledon tennis.
Kim, my opening serve on the sunny side of sports is once again Wimbledon tennis. And joining us with a Thursday update is VOA's Jonah Haskell. Sporting greetings, Jonah.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Top-ranked Serena Williams will play Spain's Garbiñe Muguruza in Saturday's final at the prestigious grass court tournament. The first semifinal Thursday, Muguruza defeated Agnieszka Radwańska in Poland in three sets, 6-2, 6-3, 6-3. Radwańska, who is ranked 13th in the world, had reached the finals of Wimbledon once before, in 2012, while Muguruza, ranked 20th, had never advanced past the quarterfinals of a major before. As thrilled as she may be to have reached the final, Muguruza will now have the unenviable task of playing world number one Serena Williams, who ousted Maria Sharapova of Russia in straight sets, 6-2, 6-4. As a 17-year-old, Sharapova beat Serena in the 2004 Wimbledon final, but has not defeated Williams since, a streak of what is now 17 consecutive matches between them. Serena also beat Sharapova in this year's Australian Open final. If Serena can win her sixth Wimbledon title on Saturday, she will be set up to win the Grand Slam with a triumph at the U.S. Open in September. The men's semifinals will take place on Friday in London and should be a great watch as world number one Novak Djokovic takes on surprise semifinalist Richard Gasquet. The Frenchman Gasquet, seeded 20th, is crashing a party of the world's top seeds after beating world number four and 2015 French Open champ Stan Wawrinka in the quarters. Djokovic has already been in some trouble playing against low seeds in this tournament, needing five sets and a second-day restart to dispatch of South Africa's Kevin Anderson in the round of 16. In the other semifinal, world number three Andy Murray, the 2013 Wimbledon champion, will take on world number two Roger Federer. Murray made it to the final of the Australian Open this year before losing to Djokovic and then lost to the Joker again in the semifinals of the French Open in June. He'll definitely be looking for another shot at Djokovic in the final. Meanwhile, Federer, on the other hand, has not had a great year at majors, having not made it past the quarterfinals until Wimbledon. Nevertheless, Roger says that he's feeling great in the lead-up to the match.
Like you said, I'm very happy to be in the semis again. The road is long getting here, but still I feel like I'm fresh and I've got energy left in the tank for hopefully a great match with Andy, and then we'll see, but I'm looking forward to it.
Federer and Murray have some recent history at Wimbledon. They faced each other in the 2012 final, which Federer won in four sets. Federer should feel at home playing in an important match at Wimbledon. He's won the tournament seven times, and with the win this year would set a new record for the most Wimbledon titles ever. With your Thursday Wimbledon update, I'm VOA's Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah. World football's governing body, FIFA, released its latest set of monthly rankings on Thursday, and there was a change at the very top. Argentina moved past Belgium and Germany to take the number one spot in the world rankings for the first time in 7 years. The Germans dropped one place to number two, and the Belgians are at number three. Argentina, led by superstar Lionel Messi, achieved the number one ranking after losing to host Chile on penalty kicks in the final of the recent Copa America tournament. Meanwhile, newly crowned South American champion Chile moved up eight positions, just missing out on a top 10 ranking at number 11. So let's take a quick look now at FIFA's top 10 teams. Argentina, Germany, and Belgium are 1, 2, and 3. Colombia is 4th, the Netherlands is 5th, and Brazil is 6th. Portugal, Romania, England, and Wales round out the top 10. Looking at the top 10 African teams in the July FIFA rankings, the Desert Foxes of Algeria remain number 1 on the continent and 19th overall. The Elephants of Ivory Coast, the reigning African champions, are 2nd on the continent and 21st overall. The Black Stars of Ghana are 3rd in Africa and 25th overall. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, we have Tunisia at 32, Senegal at 39, Cameroon at 42, Congo Brazzaville at 47, the Cape Verde Islands at 52, Egypt at 55, and Nigeria at 57th overall. In African club football, action resumes this coming weekend in both the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederations Cup tournaments. African football guru David Legg looks at the upcoming fixtures, beginning with the Champions League.
On Friday, you got USM Alger against El Merrekh. Now, these are two sides who won their opening matches in Group B. USM, they shocked the defending champion Sétif on their own ground by 2-1. And Merrekh had a routine 2-0 win over Ulma of Algeria. So a really interesting top-of-the-table tie there, Sonny. And I think the fact that the Algerians have got home advantage probably gives them a slight edge. On the Saturday, you've got a clash of great importance now between Ulma and Sétif. This is an all-Algerian clash. A reminder to our listeners, three Algerian clubs in one group, which is competed by Merrekh of Sudan. Ulma and Sétif, they both lost their opening matches. Sétif really surprisingly going down at home to Ulma. So points are absolutely critical for both sides. Despite the fact that they're playing away, I would give a slight nod towards Sétif because I think they realize, Sonny, that a second consecutive defeat could really spell dire danger for them. The prospect of them not qualifying for the semi-finals and surrendering the title. There were also surprises in Group A, and on Sunday, we have the Match Day 2 fixtures, which are Maghreb Tetouan of Morocco at home to TP Mazembe of DR Congo, and El Hilal of Sudan at home to Smouha of Egypt. Let's look at Tetouan and Mazembe first. Now, Mazembe, I happened to see on TV their match against El Hilal, which ended in a goalless draw. And Mazembe were really disappointing. I mean, this is a side that has been assembled from the stars of Tanzania, Zambia, Mali, Ghana, and Democratic Republic of Congo itself. And they were the co-favorites to win the competition after the qualifiers with Sétif. But Sétif losing at home and Mazembe failing to score at home and being held to a draw. So not a good start for the co-favorite. Tetouan, on the other hand, they threw away a 2-goal lead. 2 up at halftime against Smouha in Egypt, but they ended up 3-2 losers. And more trouble for them could be the reported loss of their star striker, Ayajur. He's reported to be on his way to Qatar. And he would be a big blow because he's the joint leading scorer at the moment with 6 goals. With home advantage, Sonny, I think Tetouan could add to the problems of Mazembe by winning this match. While Mazembe disappointed in Lubumbashi, their opponents, El Hilal of Sudan, were impressive. And in fact, it took a couple of late saves from the veteran Kidiaba to stop the Sudanese from snatching a shock away victory. And on that basis, they must be slight favourites, despite the fact that Smouha come to Khartoum buoyant indeed. Buoyant because, having been 2 goals behind, they came back to win 3-2 against Tetouan. So really interesting matches, Sonny, and I think eyes particularly on Mazembe and on Sétif, the co-favourites. One loss, the other drew. If they were both to lose, they would be in serious trouble just 2 match days into the CAF Champions League.
David, let's turn now to the CAF Confederation Cup, and how about a look at those fixtures?
Right, Sonny, and 2 losers clash on Friday in the first match of the weekend. It's in Group B, and it's between Sfaxien of Tunisia and Leopards of Congo Brazzaville. That match will be played in Sfax, which is on the east coast of Tunisia. And the fact that both teams lost their first match, Sfaxien away to Zamalek of Egypt and Leopards at home to Orlando Pirates of South Africa, gives this match great significance because you dare not lose your first 2 matches. If other clubs are to win, it means that they could have an early 6-point advantage, and that's an awful lot of leeway to make up. What is interesting about this tie, Sonny, is that previously Leopards have gone to Sfax, which is a real fortress. It's a city on the Mediterranean coast, and they won there by 2-0. But I don't see lightning striking twice, and I think Sfaxien will bounce back and win that game. Moving on to Saturday, we've got 2 fixtures. We've got Orlando Pirates against Zamalek. Now, this is a repeat of a Champions League game of 2 seasons back when the South Africans hammered the Egyptians by 4-1. I do not see a repeat of that scoreline. I think it's going to be a lot closer. Zamalek have improved, but Pirates are also looking good. Impressive 1-0 winners over Leopards in Congo, Brazzaville, on what was described as a cabbage patch pitch. And on the basis that they've got home advantage, Sonny, I'm giving a slight advantage to Pirates. I think they can squeeze home, perhaps by the odd goal. The other match on Saturday is a Tunisian derby between Esperance and Etoile Sportive du Sahel. Sahel started with a 1-0 home victory over Stade Malien of Mali, but Esperance got a 3-0 drubbing away to Al Ahly of Egypt. So they've got a lot of catching up to do. Esperance don't seem to be in particularly good form, but the fact that they need desperately these 3 points might just inspire them to victory. And last, but certainly not least, and the only Sunday fixture, it's Stade Malien of Mali is home to Al Ahly of Egypt. Now, just how good are Al Ahly? They looked very impressive against Esperance in winning 3-0, with two of the goals coming from Abdallah Saeed, who the coach, Fatih Mabrouk, said is an exceptional, awesome player. But there is one if about this victory, Sonny, and that is, if Esperance were at full strength, would it have been 3-0? The Esperance team were, in fact, short of 6 first-choice players. Now, the real test for the Al Ahly side is going to come in Bamako against Stade Malien, because Egyptian sides, for all their strength at home, often struggle in sub-Saharan Africa. They do not enjoy the conditions of playing in a place like Bamako, where the crowd can be hostile and perhaps everything doesn't go according to plan. Malien, on the other hand, they lost their first match. This is a home game. They know they now need 3 points. So really interesting fixture, Sonny, in the Confederation Cup. I think what I'll be watching in particular is that performance of Al Ahly to see if that first result can be borne out in its strength by the fact that they can now go to Mali and also win there.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg.